The first reading from 1 Peter chapter 2. Servants, be subject to your masters with all respect, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the unjust. For this is a gracious thing. When mindful of God, one endures sorrows while suffering unjustly. For what credit is it if when you sin and are beaten for it, you endure? But if when you do good and suffer for it, you endure, this is a gracious thing in the sight of God. For to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example, so that you might follow in his steps. He committed no sin, neither was deceit found in his mouth. When he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but continued entrusting himself to him who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds, you have been healed. For you were straying like sheep, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The theme for our devotion this evening is when you suffer for doing good. I imagine most of it would prefer it if the theme were, if you suffer for doing good. When suggests suffering will come your way, that suffering will be unavoidable, that it is certain that you will suffer. And if makes suffering only a possibility, something you may or may not experience, something perhaps avoidable or escapable. So which is correct? That is, which accurately reflects the teaching of Scripture? When or if? Our text this evening is part of what has been described as a household code or table of duties. This pattern for ethical instruction apparently has its origin among the Greek Stoic philosophers. It was appropriated and adapted by St. Paul for use in a number of his letters. Following him, and St. Peter here, fathers of the early church also included household codes in letters that they wrote. In Christian use, these codes or tables consider various callings in life: husband, wife, parent, child, slave or servant, citizen, and describe the sort of behavior the Lord expects from his people in these various callings. These tables are exhortations to Christian living in a variety of given positions in life. In the section of the letter we've heard this evening, St. Peter is addressing those who serve in the household, whether they be freemen or slaves. The word he uses here covers both sorts of workers. Be subject to your masters with all respect, he writes, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the unjust. For this is a gracious thing. When mindful of God, one endures sorrows while suffering unjustly. For what credit is it if, when you sin and are beaten for it, you endure? It already goes against the grain to hear the apostle say that enduring sorrows while suffering unjustly is gracious, doesn't it? A lawsuit or a whistleblower complained, or at the very least, silently expressing your utter disgust and anger at the way you've been treated, are much more natural responses to unjust suffering from someone in a position of authority. And truth be told, those sorts of responses tend to come out even when a person has earned the punishment he's suffering. But this isn't all that St. Peter writes. And as he continues, he answers the question with which I began, whether if or when best reflects whether Christians merely might or with certainty will suffer for doing good. If when you do good and suffer for it, you endure, this is a gracious thing in the sight of God. For to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example that you might follow in his steps. St. Peter uses an if at the beginning, but it qualifies the Christian's enduring rather than his doing good and suffering for it. When he speaks of these things, St. Peter uses a when. When you do good and suffer for it. And perhaps more to the point, when he writes, "To this you have been called," he cites the example of Christ who also suffered for you. And his suffering was not for any wrong he had done. He was completely innocent. St. Peter knows that without a doubt, the Christian will suffer for doing good. There's no question about that in his mind. The question is if you will follow Christ in patient endurance when you suffer for doing good. Just 3 days ago, we heard Peter confess Jesus to be the Christ, and then very quickly to be rebuked by Jesus, "Get behind me, Satan, for you are not setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of man." I doubt that St. Peter ever forgot that rebuke from his Lord. Could it be that the teaching of Jesus, which followed immediately after that rebuke, was on Peter's mind as he wrote the words of our text? Jesus had continued, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." To take up a cross is to be headed for excruciating suffering, an execution by torture that normally lasted for days before death finally came. To follow Christ is to do good and to suffer for it. I included an insert in this evening's worship folder. It reproduces a print from 1648, illustrating the third petition of the Lord's Prayer, "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." In the upper left of the image is a view of heaven, showing an angel holding a cross as God the Father looks down on the earth. And there at the head of a long line of people is his beloved Son, with whom he is well pleased, bearing his cross for your salvation. And following Christ, a host of Christian men and women, each with their own cross. It is God's will that all people be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. And one of the ways we learn the truth is through suffering. "To this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example, so that you might follow in his steps, steps of innocent suffering endured with patience. Jesus committed no sin, neither was deceit found in his mouth. When he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but continued entrusting himself to him who judges justly. The Psalms of Lament we prayed this evening, the 64th and 69th, and those we prayed last week, speak of unjust suffering and bring complaint to God. They ask him for justice. And they also express trust and confidence in the Lord. To an extent, they seem not to follow Christ's example of praying for his persecutors and being like a lamb that before its shearers is silent. Yet Jesus, too, in his suffering, prayed a psalm of lament. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me from the words of my groaning? Oh, my God, I cry by day, but you do not answer, and by night, but I find no rest. To endure unjust suffering with patience is to recognize that God is gracious and merciful and just. It is to leave vengeance to him, to trust him to repay. It is to be mindful of God in the midst of suffering, to ask that the cup of suffering be taken from you, but also to trust that your Heavenly Father's will is always for your eternal good, and that he works in all things, even suffering, to accomplish it as he has promised. To endure unjust suffering with patience is to be certain that he who did not spare his own son but gave him up for you all will most certainly also with him graciously give you all things. It is to trust that God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him, in order that you would be saved through Jesus. As St. Peter writes, Christ, the Son of God himself, bore your sins, yours and mine, bore them in his body on the tree, that you and I might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds, you have been healed. Here Peter seems to echo Isaiah. He was wounded for your transgressions, Isaiah writes. He was crushed for your iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought you peace, and with his stripes, you are healed. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Back to Peter now. For you were straying like sheep, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. The will of God is your eternal good, your salvation, your righteousness and innocence and blessedness throughout all eternity. He gave his Son for you. So though sorrow, need, or death be yours, you shall not be forsaken. For with his arm he shall embrace and shield you. The Lord, who is able to keep you from stumbling, and to present you blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy, who is able to do far more abundantly than all that you ask or think according to his power at work within you, strengthen you according to the preaching of Jesus Christ, in trust in him and in endurance when you suffer for doing good. Thank you. the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord, to life everlasting.
Amen.